Hey. This is number 18, I think. I'm getting Crawdad on the line today, so you guys definitely are going to want to listen to that. It's going to be fun. I can't wait to do it. A couple of new things happening. We're actually picking up some stuff, and we got a new podcast. I really revamped completely the podcast site on Podomatic, or like the podcast profile. So like what I did was I made a new logo and I edited up everything. So now it's got a tagline and it's not just everything that's generic. So it's got a, if you guys go to our profile page, it's at bassquadcorp.podomatic.com. If you guys are listening to this, obviously you know that. We got it on iTunes now, I think officially. I don't, last time I said that, it was just I uploaded it to iTunes and I didn't. I was like, oh, yep, posted and I tweeted it out and. But I'm an idiot and I don't really know technology all that well. So, what I did was edited it all up, and it's got a link right to our iTunes page on the side. It's got our Twitter page, our Facebook page, and also it's got a donate button. And obviously, I'm not going to be sitting here asking you guys to do anything, but options there. We keep this podcast for free because I don't want to be the douchebag that makes you pay for something that I'm doing for fun, and you guys are choosing to listen to it, so I feel like it should be always free. That's kind of the whole point of podcasting, in my opinion. So there's that. So if you guys want to do that, check out our new profile page and comment and ask us on Twitter. I always want comments on the thing, and there's also a button on the side, and if you click it, it says we want more or something to that effect, and we'll get in like notifications saying you guys want another episode. And obviously I'm going to do them quite frequently. And now that, we're getting a little bit more loyal of a following, we got that going. So I always want to thank everybody that was with us from the bare bones beginning, from when I was doing it on the, it was 3 months ago. So it's not like we're Mr. Podcast anymore, but I got, when I went from my stupid Radio Shack mic right to my phone, and I converted it and just posted it with willy nilly. So there's that. Also, we picked up a sponsor on the podcast, actually. It's pretty sweet. If you go to our website, www.bassquadcorp.com, and click on the podcast banner up on the top, I made a new page out there. So it's got the new logo and it's got like a little spiel on the left side. And then on the bottom, it says, check out the podcast page. Underneath, what we're gonna do is like we're limited to bandwidth sometimes, so to keep the cost down a little bit, we're gonna be deleting some older episodes periodically. So if you guys ever want to listen to them, if you guys are new to it and you guys want all the new, like all the old episodes that you want to listen to, if you want to hear how bad I was from the beginning when I started out, you can email us, and I have all the MP3 files and everything saved on my computer, so I got them on an external drive. So if you guys want them, just text me or just email it to us and just say, hey, can you send me this, 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 and this episode? I'm going to keep all the good ones, like the really funny ones, like the episode 7 and 8 are definitely going to stay on there, or 8 and 9, I don't remember what it was, but those are two really funny ones. And so anyway, so the podcast sponsor is Amazon.com, actually. So what you're gonna do is you're gonna go to our podcast page and click on, if you guys want to, the banner that I have underneath. What this does is it doesn't cost you anything. It doesn't cost us anything. If you guys are ordering off of Amazon.com, it's a kind of like a kickback program where if you guys enjoy us, go through this. If you guys are ordering something, we get, I'm not gonna lie to you and say anything, whatever, but we get like 4% of whatever you purchase. So if you guys are ordering it, take this one extra step, and I would really, really appreciate it, and it would definitely help support this podcast and keep it going and let me be able to keep doing this. So so that's that little spiel. Obviously Amazon, I use it for like everything. If I ever buy any books or buy anything, I just if you guys have ever seen the YouTube video, I would strongly suggest checking it out. The Amazon Prime Air. Apparently, in 5 years, we're going to be having little drones flying around on a 30-minute, not next day, not 2 day air, 30-minute delivery, where these little drones are going to pick up your package and fly it over to your house and drop it off on your front door, which is unbelievable. And I can't describe it. there's a couple problems that I see arising from that. I see there's going to be a lot of people that, especially that live out, those same type of people that love UFOs are not going to be hesitant to shoot those things out of the sky. So I don't know if that's the greatest idea, but, you know, it's happening, and that's just the world we live in. So check out Amazon.com through our podcast page on our website if you guys would love to do. I mean, I would love it if you guys did that. So keep that in mind. Without further ado, I'm just going to go ahead and just get Carter on the line here. Crawdad, it's his first time on the podcast, so bear with us. We are really, really good friends, so we talk about stuff that you guys might know. It's a fun podcast. It's gonna be so much fun. I can't wait to do this. So I'm gonna get him on Skype right now.
Yo, it's Crawdad here.
Yeah, what's up, dude? You ready to get deep?
I am. I'm ready to get deep. Need to vent.
You need a vent? This is a perfect place to vent.
Perfect.
We'll fucking start venting then.
So, basically what I want to talk about is kind of a loser's perspective. Something that nobody really talks about, but everybody's been there, obviously.
Yeah.
I don't care how good you are. KVD probably zeroed once in his life, too. Probably just once, though, but it's kind of embarrassing to talk about. Maybe, I don't know, it's not really taboo, but basically this is all stemming from my Lake of the Ozarks BSS Midwest Regional College Tournament last weekend. And, basically what happened is I zeroed on day one. Day two, I came with one fish, and I didn't even weigh in because there's no point.
Yeah.
That hurt really bad, especially since we did so well last year.
Well, plus, not to mention, you've had 6 months to think about it. When did you find out you were actually going?
A long time ago.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I know, like, you and Teddy both, we've been just scouring maps and shit like that, but it's terrible.
Well, yeah, I mean, me and him together probably had close to 60 pages of research done, you know? I can't tell you how many hours I spent on just map study and online research and reading up, you know? I felt better going into this tournament than any tournament I ever felt about before.
Yeah.
Got down there. The first day of pre-fishing is pretty hard post-frontal conditions, and took us about an hour to catch our first fish. But once I caught that first fish, it was a short, but it was like 14 3/4 inches or something, real close.
15 was...
And 15 is the size limit down there for all fish. For the tournament, even spots had to be 15.
Oh, really?
So,
yeah, they did that for Lewis. They did that for Louisville for us, too. And Louisville, there's no such thing as a 15-inch spot, so it was like... I hate when tournaments do that. I think all FLWs do that, or they did for college up until when I left.
Yeah, actually, well, we ended up...
Carter, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, you just repeat whatever you just said, because my internet conked out.
All right, yeah, it's spotty here, too.
Yeah.
Down on Table Rock, we actually fished an FLW, too. On our last day of pre-fishing, because the spot opened up.
That's right, yeah.
And, yeah, the size was 15 inches for spots down there, too.
Mm.
And, yeah, I mean, they're there, but those are pretty... And we did terrible there, too, if you're wondering. So I had really rough 2 weeks in Missouri. Missouri just kicked my ass.
Yeah.
And
it's just terrible. I mean...
I'm not trying to complain, and there's really no excuses besides the fact that I just didn't fish good, so...
Yeah.
But I know everyone's been there, and I just kind of want to talk about why I think I didn't fish good.
Okay.
And
go ahead.
Why I am... Like, right now, I have zero confidence in myself.
Yeah.
as anyone can probably imagine, as anyone has probably felt, I mean... You know, like I said, pre-fishing took us like an hour to catch that first fish. And then right away we got a really good...
All right, Carter, we're experiencing some major technical difficulties.
Yes, we are.
Just whatever you left off where we last heard it, just go ahead and start from there. I think you were talking about how you guys, where you guys first caught your first fish within an hour. That's where you, like, kind of just jetted off.
Yeah, but in pre-fishing, caught our first fish within an hour. You know, classic Highland Reservoir, secondary points, jerk baits. But we're fishing pretty shallow secondary points, and we're in the backs of the creek arms. We're fishing the last point before the spawning bays, and what we had dialed in was if it was a secondary point that forked off into two shallow spawning bays, we knew the fish would be on there. And we started running this pattern on the lake, catching lots of fish, and we're like, well, you know, we figured it'd take 12 pounds each day to qualify, which it would have easily qualified us.
Right.
And we did that pre-fishing, you know. No giants. It was a grind. You had to weed through shorts, but we did that. And that was the week before the tournament went down there pre-fish for our spring break. And then so we had to come back to Wisconsin for class and work. And then we came back down there. And first day of the tournament, just an absolute grind for us.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, I mean, you weren't alone, though.
Yeah. There was, you know, the weights tapered off quickly.
Yeah.
But we ended up catching, like, 21 fish on day one. And, you know, every single one just bump it, you know, noticeably, like, you couldn't tell with your eyes. Had to bump.
Yeah.
And none of them would go. You know, if we could add five that were longer.
Even if you had 8 pounds a day, I mean,
yeah, we would have qualified easily.
Really?
So
what was 12th place? Wasn't it like 16 pounds, 14 pounds, something like that?
So in that area, but the top 14 qualified, so a really small limit each day would have really helped us out. But you know, we just couldn't get the bites. No excuses, I guess, needed. We weren't doing something right, I guess.
Yeah.
And so, you know, obviously after a day like that, you're just completely down on yourself. You watch your teammate bring in 19 pounds, and you're like, wow, I really suck.
Yeah.
I zeroed, and, you know, good for those guys. Thanks for picking up the slack for the team. Way to go. But it makes you really question your fishing ability.
Oh, it's unbelievable. And I don't think it's such a weird dynamic too, because like when you're fishing, like especially when you're fishing against your buddies, like nothing makes me happier than seeing my buddies win, but nothing pisses me off than seeing my buddies win. Like it's kind of, you know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah. Like, it's like,
God,
that's who you're. That's
they catch fish. I was
up
here for 2 weeks,
right?
And I guarantee you, I was doing the same. I mean, and it's just like, it's so strange and how this sport works like that. And always, I mean, there's not a time ever where I've gotten beat by my friends and been, I mean, just different emotions. Like you go up and you hug them and you give them, slap them on the back and you're just like, God damn it. Like, I don't know. It's hard to.
Congrats, you asshole.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's great that everything happened, but you spent tons of money to go get down there, tons of hardships. And you know, especially us, your first tournament, you haven't fished in 4.5-5 months.
Yeah.
And then you get down there and you just get dejected, and then you got another 12 hours to think about it on the way home, and another 2 months to think about it,
you know,
until your next tournament.
Yeah.
Which is where, like, I don't know. I mean, I know you feel the same way as I do, which is where, like, I hate bringing the subject up, so I talk about it constantly on the podcast, but like, especially college anglers from Wisconsin, it's so different. Like how much mental shit goes on constantly, like the battles you have in the winter and the, especially when you fish a tournament and you do bad in it, you know, before the lakes open up here.
Yeah, I could not agree more. Let's just put it was a lot quieter car ride home than it was on the way there.
Yeah.
And basically that, just kind of sit in the car and think, and that's basically where this all spawned from, was just thinking about what went wrong, what happened, and Yeah, so that was our day one, you know.
Yeah.
Went home to the hotel. Had to have a few adult beverages, obviously, after something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Went to bed at like 8 o'clock because I was just so like depressed.
And oh, it's terrible.
Tired. And
nobody will never know, like, doesn't bass fish out with that feeling of just burned out mentally and physically, and then you're pissed off on top of it.
Yeah, it's it's bad. It's just an emotional roller coaster, and that's probably half what wears you down so bad. It's just,
oh yeah,
you become so mentally just drained. And then you have to pick yourself back up and say, well, let's go back out in the water today.
Catch 25 pounds and, you know, qualify. It's even worse when you know you're 20 pounds back after day one.
Exactly.
You know? And it's just like, well, if I catch 20, if I have the day of my life and catch 30 pounds, I'm probably still not going to win. Like, that's so hard to get out there and fish.
Yeah.
And you're just like, all right, well, I'm just going to do it. So,
unattainable goal is what it feels like.
Oh, it's completely unattainable. You can't. So yeah, so day two, how did you go? What was your plan?
Day two. Well, Teddy's outboard blew up.
Yeah.
As everyone knows, and so I did some talking with him. And day two, I was just gonna kind of fly by the seat of my pants. Usually, that's when I fish best. Is when I just force the pressure off of my shoulders and just go out there and fish and basically get in my zone, you know. Yep. You just kind of get in this zone where nothing can touch you, and it's just cast after cast, and everything going through your brain pure fishing.
We can talk about that after you're done recapping this. That's something that I'd love to touch on.
For sure. So, yeah, day two. So I talked to Ted, and he gave me a few areas to start with, and I just wanted to see if they're the same thing I was working, because from talking with them earlier, it sounded like we're on really similar patterns. And so day two, we take off, and I'm going down the lake, and all of a sudden my hot foot just comes loose. And I'm just like, well, this is a great start to day two.
Throwing gasoline on the fire.
Yeah.
Oh my
so
God.
I'm like, you know, you don't really have any throttle control because the hot foot has such a stiff spring. And it's just wobbling all over the floor because all four screws managed to rip out at the same time for no apparent reason. We're running on glass calm water.
That's so
strange. It's not like it was rough water. So I pull over and I'm trying to fix it. I take the screws out and see that they're rusted out and they just kind of like stripped out because they got rusty.
Same time.
Yeah. Yeah. Randomly. Talk about bad luck. And so I tell my partner, Leo, I'm like, just get on the trolling motor and start fishing. I'm going to mess with this, you know. So I'm under the console of my boat, and I'm like, well, I don't have the right size screws to screw this back in, so I'm going to have to try to put the throttle cable for the hand control on. So I have the outboard off, the toweling off the outboard, and all kinds of other stuff. I'm digging around and realize I can't do that. So I take four screws out of my windshield. You know, redneck repairs 101. And so my windshields were a little wobbly the rest of the day. I still haven't fixed that. I got to fix that this weekend sometime. And get it back on there, and it stays secure. So I'm like, all right, let's finally get to our first spot. So we roll up to our first spot. It's like 8:45, my first cast of the day.
Oh, geez, 2 hours almost?
Yeah. Well, we were like boat 70-something, so not quite that bad. But it was a lengthy repair. And first cast, boom, smoke a 3.5-pounder. I'm just like, okay, the sun is out and the wind is blowing on our stuff. We're going to sack 15, 16 pounds a day, and we're going to qualify. Just jacked, you know?
Yeah.
And the rest of the day, nothing but shorts. So that's how day two went.
How that happens?
Yeah. We got on a little school on one point, caught about 6 in like 10 minutes, I'd say, and you know, Leo caught the first one, bumped it. Damn, it's 4:14¾. I passed in there, caught the second one, third one. He's just sitting back there bumping, and I just keep hearing fish splashing back into the water. I'm not even looking. I'm like, how could those not be 15 inches, for Christ's sake? Not a single one. So that was my tournament.
God. Yeah, no, I mean, this sport sure does know how to, like, it's a weird thing because, like, we've been in the spot where we've been in the zone completely and everything goes right, but there was also those times where you're like, oh, here's a slightest glimmer of hope, and then it just kicks you in the balls again, and you fall down, and then you get, and it picks you up, and then it kicks you in the face, and it's just like, never ends. And you know, those are those people that don't do it, and those people that like just think we're just doing this and fishing and having fun and having drinks out on the water, and it's just like, that is so not the case. Like I've said this before many times, but like with Casey and stuff, I don't enjoy myself a lot of the times when I'm on the water. Like most of the time it's a complete grind, and it's like, it's satisfying completely. I love the sport, but I'm not always having fun. I mean, I don't know. I don't want that to come off like dicky and like weird, but like, you know what I mean?
Well, I agree. I'm not always having fun either. Most of the time I get so stressed out and I'm so competitive that after a day like that, I just wanted to walk up and punch somebody.
Yeah.
You know, that's how competitive I am. I'm just like, well, if I can't beat them on the water, I'll beat their ass at the ramp.
Yeah.
I don't, obviously. Most of the time I restrain myself.
Yeah.
Unless somebody pulls up on me or something.
Oh,
then,
my God. Well, then those are the days where, you know, when you're all pissed off and you're back in your boat trailer in the water and then something else happens. Dude, that happened to me at Gunnersville. Where Adam and I was pulling the boat trailer and I jackknifed the trailer and sheared off the winch with my truck, you know, and it just like, and we were about to leave to go back to Wisconsin. So I was just like, God, you gotta be kidding me. Like everything goes wrong. And then you wake up the next day, you're like, well, let's go fishing.
Yep.
Hours after quitting for good.
Yep. So, I mean, I remained positive pretty much the whole day and tried to stay in the zone, you know. I just kept thinking, okay, 2 o'clock, it's going to happen. Then 3 o'clock comes, I'm like, we didn't have to wait until 4 because we were on the last boats. All right, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And we were almost late because I just kept casting and casting and casting. I'm just like, it's going to happen.
You can't do it. Especially in a tournament that gives out like a pot for, not pot, but like a big bass contingency thing.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, what was it, 7? Well, it was 6. What one?
7-1? 7-0-1.
Was that
fish?
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Just Jake a stud of a fish.
What's that?
Just a stud of a fish. Just a giant.
Was it short and, like, fat? Was it just
It was long fish? And fat.
Oh, really?
It was 7 pounds, man.
Yeah, well, I know, but sometimes those fish look really strange, especially in pre-spawn when they're, like, because, like, sometimes they'll just get, like, the largemouth will actually look like the football smallmouth, and then you know they're just monsters when they got that just lampshade shape to him.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Beautiful sight.
I mean, like I can just hear that in your vocal tone that you were kind of pissed off coming in and you're like depressed and now you're like, oh yeah, here we go. Talking about big ones again, you know.
Now I'm jacked again.
I know. Yeah.
Too bad there's ice on the lakes.
Yeah. Well, that's just it though. That's the good thing about like fishing, and you have so many friends and stuff where you can just sit there and like that's what like my favorite thing about driving back with somebody is you after about I don't know if it was for you, but I mean it's a quiet ride, but then after a while like you sit there and you're talking and you're like, God, you remember that one time when we did this? And you're like, yeah, and then you guys just start firing up again. You're like, well, I can't wait to get back on the water after you just quit a couple minutes ago. Like, I don't know, the sport is strange. It's got a strange grasp on my head. I don't know what
for
it
sure
is.
Yeah, I mean it probably took us 4 hours till we actually, I don't know if we turned the radio on at all on the ride back. I think it was just silence, but, I mean, we started talking about Iowa, which was the regional Midwest regional last year, where we caught a 6.5-pounder, spawned out, and got third place and went from 33rd to third place.
Yeah.
You know, then the national championship, how cool of an experience that was.
Yeah.
Which then makes you depressed again, because you're like, well, I'm not heading there not this year, so.
Yeah. I mean, it's a weird thing. That's the weirdest thing, I think, after, like, a bad tournament in a college tournament. Like, you get back with your partner who you, like, I mean, I know, like, I have a lot of really good friends, but fishing with Colbeck for 3 years, and, like, I know everything about him, and he knows everything about me, because you guys spend so much time together, and then, you know, and I never really get mad at him, but after, like, a tournament that goes bad, it's like we're both pissed off at the other guy, probably. I don't know what he's mad about me, and I don't know what I know what I'm mad about, you know what I mean? So, like, you're like, God, if you would have just slowed down a little bit, if we would probably be able to caught him. And he's probably thinking, if Tyler wouldn't just quit dicking around in the back, changing off baits all the time, we'd probably, you know. So you got that awkward moment coming in.
For sure.
And then, I mean, do you remember my Rayburn extravaganza thing?
How could I forget?
Where we had where we had to rent the U-Haul truck to get back. I think I've told that story on the podcast before, but I remember just blowing up at Adam because we were – I hadn't talked to him for like two, because on top of having a shitty tournament, my truck blew up on the way back to the weigh-in, and then we had to go get the U-Haul, stay an extra day to get the U-Haul to bring it back because there was no places open on Sunday in Jasper, Texas. So, and then, like, I just remember, I seriously can remember it like it was yesterday, and this is talking about how bad tournaments and good tournaments stick in your mind just as equally. So he goes into the gas station, I'm just pissed off, like, I can't remember. I literally thought like I was going to quit fishing. Like it was one of those, it was the closest I've ever came to it. And so Kolvac comes back in the truck and he grabs like, he had like a 32 ounce Gatorade and he's like trying to get it to fit in the, the cup holder. And he just goes, and it doesn't fit. And he's just like, oh, that's just devastating. And he didn't say a word the whole time. And I'm like, that's fucking devastating, Kolvac. That's devastating to you.
Yeah.
And we just kind of yelled at each other for like 3 minutes, and then we shut up, and then like 5 minutes later, we were laughing. I'm like, well, that was a shitty tournament.
Yeah, right? Exact same feelings. You know, it's all the same.
I mean, yeah, it's crazy.
Right? Yeah, once you have a bad tournament, the most minute things will piss you off.
Everything.
Like, and why didn't you turn your turn signal on 2 seconds earlier for that stop, like, jackass, you know? And then 5 minutes later, like, you're just laughing because you just think about how bad you sucked and all you can do is laugh about it. Oh, then you're pissed off again.
Oh, yeah, no, it's such a, it just reverts back to that, just how much of a roller coaster of emotions you just go through. I mean, I don't know what depression, I mean, I've kind of was a little bit, but, like, I've never gone through, like, legit depression, and I'm like, God, this has got to be what it feels like.
I would think so.
I mean, you just, everything, you're on edge constantly. And then, and like, the worst part is like, my worst thing is when I get back, like, home, and I don't put anything on Facebook, don't put anything on Twitter, and all of a sudden I get a bunch of texts. Hey, dude, how'd the tournament go? You're just like, you know what? I'm not even answering anything.
Yep.
I just shut my phone off, and just, and then, of course, then you run into your girlfriend, and she's like, hey, how did it go? Did everything go okay? No, it didn't. Well, don't get mad at me, and then you guys get into a flaming argument.
Yep. It escalates quickly. It's a snowball headed for hell is what it is.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it's, and you know, obviously it's cool that we laugh about it now, but when it happens, it's just terrible.
Yeah. I'm sure we're not the only ones that feel that way. I mean, that's kind of why I wanted to talk about it, because I'm sure everyone,
oh, yeah. No,
everyone has felt this way, and it doesn't get talked about a lot.
No, it's perfect, because, you know, that's what, like, I love this podcast and Bass Squad and everything like that, is, like, you talk about things that everybody knows happens, but for whatever reason, pros don't talk about it, and nobody talks about it because they don't want to come off as bad fishermen or whatever it is. I don't know what the deal is, but it's, like, I'm a person, like, I'm not a robot. I like to talk about things, and I don't mind addressing things that normally don't get addressed, and
absolutely.
And it's just like, you know, what are the things we talk about when we're hanging out drinking or hanging out just talking about fishing,
right?
Which usually goes hand in hand, but
yeah,
but you either talk about the shittiest things that happen or you talk about the greatest things that happen. I mean, we can go on and on talking about the greatest things that happen, but you know, this is perfect. Like, you know, this the worst things that ever happened to you is just it builds up character completely. Like, I have become such a patient. I never was. I'm still neurotic on the water, but I'm pretty calm, you know, as far as patience to know something's going to happen because of so many bad tournaments. I know how wrong it can go, and I'm like, well, at least it wasn't as bad as Rayburn.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you always got that in the back of your mind. I think that just constant conflict and constant constant struggles and stuff just builds you up to be a way stronger angler than you ever, than having constant good tournaments will ever do.
I agree, and I think that most people probably experience by far more bad tournaments than good tournaments. You know,
what crazy person would ever jump into a sport that when you win maybe once a year.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I mean, I know you fish just as many. I mean, I fish like 25 tournaments a year, and there's only like 30 weeks of open water. And, like, I barely ever win. Like, I won a couple times, you know, I won a couple times like little club tournaments or something like that. But, like, any big tournament, you rarely win. Like, even the top pros win. Like, Ike, I think, has 7 total wins. And he's been fishing since 99.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's just, I don't know. So you know that more people have more bad stories than good stories.
Absolutely. Yeah, like you were saying, it definitely builds character. I think learning how to overcome all those feelings.
Yeah.
And, you know, pick yourself back up and slam that troll motor down and start casting again and get your head back in the zone. I think that's what you build, and that's what makes you a better angler. You know, that's kind of what I want to talk about, is just the whole...
Oh, yeah.
I don't know exactly what you would call it, maybe, but, you know...
Perseverance. Kind of,
yeah, your perseverance and, you know, your inner bass fisherman or fisherwoman.
Yeah, whatever.
And it's just like, you know, everyone knows the feeling. There's not an exact set of words where, you know, you do have that tournament where everything goes right. You're just... Every decision you make pays off tenfold for you. It's a snowball effect up to where you're just basically, you feel like you're floating on your feet.
Oh, yeah.
You feel like your feet are on the water.
Dude.
Your back isn't sore. Your ankles don't hurt. Your knees don't hurt.
You jump into a higher form of consciousness for sure. And I don't want me to sound like a hippie, but you definitely tap into some weird energy. And I don't know what it is, and I don't really, but it's definitely, I've done it before. It happens all the time where you'll be fishing a bank the day prior and not get touched, and then all of a sudden you're like, wow, this bank looks so good, why am I not getting bit? And you get pissed off at yourself, and then all of a sudden the next day you jump in and all of a sudden you're in the zone and you're hitting everything, and you go back to that bank and you just whack them on the bank that you thought you were gonna the day before, but for whatever reason you're using the same things, you're doing the same stuff, and you got that, I don't even know what to call it, it's so hard to say. The zone is perfect words for it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what separates a lot of pros from a lot of not pros.
Yep, they tap into that.
Yeah, they know how to achieve that zone instantly and stay in it.
Yep.
You know, that just increases your focus, your casting becomes incredible, your accuracy becomes incredible, your decision-making becomes incredible.
Yep.
And you just have you have adrenaline going through you, and everything is positive. Your glass isn't half full, it's overflowing.
Yeah, and you're just smiling. You're actually enjoying yourself on the water, and you're just like, oh, here comes a fish. Watch this cast. Skip it all the way underneath the dock.
Boom, 5-pounder.
Yep.
And you're just like, I love life right now.
I know. And then... Yeah,
and then there's... Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, no. I talked about this with Cody, and he's like... He's like, yeah, I had 13 pounds, but I knew I won. It's just a weird feeling too when you're dominating on the water and you're just like, I know I got this. I'm winning. I'm gonna win this tournament. And then there's other days where you can like whack them technically, but for whatever reason you're just pissed off and you just have that weird like weight on your back and you just know you don't have enough. And you know that next fish is gonna be the one that puts you over the top. And then it's such a weird, strange thing when you get that one fish and you're like, oh, that's the one that made the difference, that's the one that made it, you know.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I know within the first 5 minutes on the water if I'm gonna have a good or a bad day, because I'll run to my first spot and I'll sit that throw motor down, I'll make a few casts, and you just get this feeling like, I am just not feeling it right now. And I've just sat down and kind of just
rethought.
Put my head in between my knees and just kind of sat there, you know, curl up in a ball and just forced myself into the zone. And then I just kind of got back up, and I kind of relate it to football, because in high school and football, I'd do that before every tournament. I just
every game, you mean?
Bass fisherman problems. Yeah, before every game, and I'd listen to one song my iPod just all the way up. And it's heavy metal. Heavy metal is what gets me going.
Yeah.
To get in the zone. For some people, it's rap. That does it for me sometimes.
Yeah.
And I just get on the... I wouldn't even feel like I was me. I was like damn near an out-of-body experience in fishing.
So strange.
fishing is the same way, but probably even worse.
Or oh, yeah.
Better, whatever you want to call it.
Well, the thing with fishing is that I kind of tapped in this before. Like, if you think about, like, humans and evolution and stuff like that, like, we're programmed to fish. Like, that's what we do. And then you add on top of it, like, a competitive nature to it, and it's just like, gut-wrenching when you think about, I don't know, it's a weird primal thing that we tap into, and I think that has a lot to do with us getting so pissed off when we don't do good.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of things, I love tapping into, like you said, that primeval.
Yep.
Feeling, you know, hunting does that for me, too. Yeah.
Oh, right. Well, I mean, it makes sense. It makes sense if you think about it. Like, why is hunting enjoyable? Well, because we have to eat.
That's right.
And that's how we used to be able to have to eat. I mean.
Yeah. Just being able to, you just have a feeling like you're conquering nature, you know.
Right.
You are on top of the food chain.
Right.
And you know it.
But on the flip side of that, you're also not in your environment. You're in that thing's environment. And they're better suited for that environment than you are. And then you go up and try and, you're competing against them, and then on top of it, you got other people to worry about, and then on top of that, you got jet skiers buzzing by you to worry about, and on top of that, you got wind, and you got sun, and then you got the clouds, and it's just in the water temperature, and you're just like, what am I doing out here? I'm complete, you feel naked sometimes. Like, when nothing's going right, it's the worst feeling in the world. When you legitimately can't figure them out, it is seriously the worst.
And yeah,
I can't describe it.
After that tournament, I feel like not a single decision I made that day was the right decision.
Right. Well, and then when you look back and you're like, why did I do that? Why did I spend an hour and a half doing that?
Yeah. And you're just like, I just can't do this, you know. This has been, I'm not going to quit fishing. I don't want to. I'm trying to figure out how to build my confidence back up.
Right.
Hopefully I can do that soon. It's hard to do when you can't go fishing, but.
Well, 2 weeks from now, I'm not this weekend, but next weekend I'm going to the Wolf.
Yeah, that should be open by the, I think it's opening up today in New London. They said it was breaking apart. So
nice. Yeah, I mean, once the ice comes off, we'll be good. Yeah.
So,
I don't know. So did you guys get that documentary or whatever Leo was working on?
Yeah, except for we don't have really any fish catches to show.
Yeah,
obviously.
But that's actually not bad. There's nothing wrong with that. Like, I think especially if we like take some clips from this and, you know, what we're actually thinking and what you're doing, it's just like, it's just the way it goes. And you, that's what's great about what we're doing is that, and I don't mean to toot our horns, but you know what I mean? Like, we're not joking. We're not pretending like we're not, you know, what we're not. Like, we're totally upfront with everything. Like, I don't know. I just like, I always like to be honest all the time. And, you know, you can do whatever you want when you're bullshitting at the launch and talking about what you did and what you didn't do. That's one thing. But, like, when you're, like, I don't know. Sometimes it's just that you get this I know when someone's bullshitting. I'm pretty good at, like, reading when someone's, like, bullshitting you. And I just don't want to ever be that person. And I don't want to be that way. And I think that's just great that we all decided to do this. And, you know, we're being real
when people aren't. Just this helps too, you know.
Right.
Just knowing that that other people do feel these things, because sometimes you look at those guys and you're like, they must never feel like this. Do they just think fishing is easy, that they can just go out and catch fish all the time while I'm sitting here zeroing? You're like,
yeah, no,
it's hard to say. I mean, but
there's
that's
no
fishing.
Way it happens. There's no way they do that.
Yeah,
they all are. We're the same person.
Like
we're just less talented versions of them. You know what I mean? Like, that's mm-hmm. all it is. It's not like just them fishing a bunch of times is going to make their decision-making perfect. They're still people. Like,
yeah, I mean, and at the end of the day, you just have to kind of look back and go, that's fishing. And to quote a popular TV show called Trailer Park Boys, they say, that's the fucking way she goes, boys. And that is the way she goes. You win some and you lose some.
Yeah,
like you said earlier, picking yourself up off the ground and going back out there, that's what builds character and makes you a better fisherman, in my opinion.
Oh, definitely. But, and, you know, if you can actually do, I think I feel more satisfied sometimes when I have a decent tournament when I was shitty in the beginning than when I, like, just straight up just dominated. It's the same type of feeling. Like, you just achieved that same, like, yeah, I took third, but, like, Casey and I had a tournament by me, And I had this spot that was just a morning spot, and my first cast of the frog, I mean, it's hard to say, obviously, with a frog, but I saw the whole thing bust out of the water, and it was over 6. And, I mean, it had to be. It was a giant. And then I set the hook on it, and it missed completely. So the frog comes shooting back at me. I burn the line back. The line got hooked up on the top of my guide.
Yeah.
And the rod snapped because I was burning it so hard. So my main frogging rod snaps. So I pick up my next one, and I cast back there. And, you know, he didn't bite. So Casey goes out there and punches it and misses it. So then I take my trolling motor. I was adjusting it to pull it up a little bit because I was going real shallow.
Mm-hmm.
So I do that. And then the isolator, I don't know if you have a motor guide or not, but like the isolator in the middle falls in the water and drops to the ground. I couldn't find it. So it just instantly goes right to the bottom. I ended up having to, so like everything's going wrong in the beginning of the day. And then I'm just like, I don't know. So I took my Tackle Warehouse sweatshirt and actually like tied on the top and tied on the bottom and just like made this stupid thing where I was able to adjust that. And I drove around with, I had to take it apart every single time, and we ended up actually catching like 20 pounds and took fourth.
So yeah.
It was like, after, like, you know, you go through stuff like that, and you're just like, you know, that's just, like you said, that's just the way she goes.
Yeah. I mean, overcoming adversity. Yeah. It's a great feeling.
Well,
you're
pretty
feeling.
Much king of overcoming adversity. I remember watching you drive to the Wolf one time.
Oh, I don't even know if I want to talk about it, but I will, just for the sake of this, so someone else can get a laugh.
Yeah.
I love the Wolf River. It's dirty water, fast current, smallmouth. That is how I started bass fishing. Just absolutely love fishing the place, but I have some sort of weird, I shouldn't say I do, my old boat has some sort of weird curse out there. The first time I ever fished a tournament out there, well, I can't think of what happened. Yeah, the first time I ever fished out there, I dropped the boat in the water and it won't start. Finally, I get it going, run down the river to my first spot, and obviously, then it doesn't start again.
Yeah, I was there.
Yeah, right, and you had to tow me back. Well, then somehow all of my batteries fried out, so I didn't even have a trolling motor. And so I get my boat back onto the trailer, get back to we're staying at Ted's house.
Yeah.
And me and Ted and Logan and you, we all worked on it, and we got it to fire up, and we're like, okay, we fixed the problem. Next morning, go outside, start my truck up, put it in drive, and it won't go anywhere. The brake line, somehow, the brakes were frozen, the rear brakes. So I was so pissed off, I just said, screw it, give me a bolt cutter. So I went in there, and I just cut my brake line off. I just said, I don't care, I'm going fishing today. So I back into the water. This is something probably you didn't even know. When I back into the water, both of the fenders covers on my trailer fall off. I don't know why. The bolts were loose, and they just fall off, and then my outboard won't start. So,
leaking brake fluid.
Yeah, so I just say, all right, enough's enough, and I go home. I drive about 95 miles an hour all the way home. But then on the way home, I see a guy, and his boat's in the ditch, and like 100 yards up,
I was fishing right next to him. You remember that? Or was that...
I don't know, but I saw him on the way home, and his entire axle fell off his boat trailer. So I'm like, well, at least I have an axle. I have something going for me, you know?
That's the Wolf, so. if there was ever any encompassing thing. Because I remember when me and Adam were fishing on that, where you can watch the sturgeon, some guy just, like, backed his boat through, like, the woods and right into the water, and I have no idea what he was doing. Like, you know what I'm – there was, like, that like, impromptu
exactly.
launch, and I'm like,
yeah.
Holbeck, what is this guy doing?
So
the best part is he gets off his truck, gets in his boat, pulls it out the trailer, and just fucking takes off down the water. leaves his truck in the water and everything. It's like, well, that guy doesn't care about anything at all.
Wow. People will do whatever they have to do.
Well, fish. I remember that one time on the Wolf. Teddy talked about the Wolf, but when I was watching you, because we were all fishing that same general area, and all that stuff that happened to you on the water.
Yeah, I tried to boat flip a 5.5-pounder on spinning rod one time, and remembered that I had 6-pound test. As the thing hit the gum of my boat, the line snapped and it bounced back in the water. So I took my rod, and I just started slamming it against the wall. I lost all control. I get angry about things like that, and I'm just slamming my rod into the water. And so then I just collect myself, start fishing again.
The best thing is watching this. I might say the best thing is watching this from a distance without being able to hear what's going on in your boat. And I'm just witnessing you just losing your mind.
Oh, there was some unpleasant words said, let's put it that way. Now, later that day, that same rod, I'm like messing around, tying up a bait on another rod, and I always leave a rod in the water. And I'm sitting on the seats, and all of a sudden, like out of a movie, I watch my rod just shoot into the water. A fish eats my tube jig, and the rod just shoots into the water. I'm like, you have to be kidding me. What happened, like an hour later, I hooked my rod and get it back. I still have that rod to this day. The same rod that went through all that.
Oh yeah, I remember watching that. Well, dude, that was a nightmare of a day. That was the day Dobbins caught that 6-pounder.
Yeah.
I remember the first day, like when we first got to that spot, we're right by a house, and I had just pissed royally, and it was cold as hell, so I took off my bibs, and I unzipped, and I started peeing, and then Colmec sets the hook, and he's got one on, so I had to, like, stop and then net it, so I net it up, get it in the live well, and it was like a 2.25, and then, so we stopped doing it around, so I was like, okay, I better finish this up, so I start peeing again. He does the same. He catches another one just after I started. So I'm like, you gotta be fucking kidding. So I grab the net the thing, throw it in another 2-pounder. So then I start again, and he starts drifting up, and I look, and there's a house, and an old lady just standing with her hands up, just staring at me. And I'm like, you know what? I don't even care at this point. I just finished.
Well, that day that was one of those things about overcoming adversity. We got like fifth or sixth or something, not very good. I don't remember. But what we did is I decided to run up to the mouth where the Embarrass comes in.
Yeah.
And I was throwing a DT6, and we just started catching them one after another, just nonstop. They're all 2-pound cookie cutters, you know?
Yeah.
But we just started calling like crazy and ended up finishing it. You know, ended up having a fun day on the water.
Oh, yeah. I mean, always. The Wolf is the worst and the best place. Yeah. I don't know. And I tried to explain this on the podcast before with Teddy. And, dude, there's no way to describe it. Nobody has any idea. That's even not from around the state. Like, if you've never fished it before, just picture yourself fishing a trout stream the size of like a regular road, width wise, and the current's going 100 miles an hour, and there's just, you go through 20, 25 tube jigs in a day without an issue, like no problem, and forget it if you want to use a shaky head or something.
Yeah.
So after like 10 or 12 missed or just ripped off tube jigs, you just start throwing a crankbait because you're just so mad, just constantly using. And then, ironically, when you get bites, a lot of the times when you're stuck in the rocks and then the smallmouth come in and jab it free.
Yep. That's always a good feeling. Oh, well, here goes another tube jig, and all of a sudden your line starts swimming. It's a 3-pounder. It's a good feeling to have.
Oh, man. I love how we started the podcast getting all pissed off and depressy, and now we're talking about fun things. And
yeah, I have a smile on my face right now.
Oh, yeah. No, thinking about... I never don't have a smile on my face when I start. When I start these things, and I'm like, I'm going to get real deep today. And then all of a sudden it turns out I'm like, yeah, and then I was doing it. And I start doing these stupid stories about that happened. And I mean, Christ, we have unlimited ones.
Yeah, I am glad spring is coming. I mean,
oh, I'm so pumped. I can't wait.
I need one of those days on a river system to get my confidence back up. Go out there and just whack the living hell out of big smallmouth. Yeah. There's nothing I love more than that.
Oh, shit. Yeah, no. I wanted to talk just quickly before, I mean, Christ, we've been talking for almost 40 minutes already. We'll make this a little bit of a longer podcast. I just think that how cool it is that, you know, with the advent of, like, all this technology crazy and, you know, just innovation and people way smarter than us doing these things that are being able to reach all these people. I mean, essentially what we did was we started in a garage online. Like, that's basically what it is. What we did with Twitter and everything, I mean, I don't know. I know your feelings, and you guys kind of came up with the idea, and then we just took it and started running with it, and it's like, wow, this is so much fun. Like, I don't even, like I said, I don't even care if we get paid for it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's more fun just to get, and you know, you get these comments on our pages and say, like, oh man, you guys are cool, you guys are hilarious, you guys are doing this. And I don't want to toot our own horns, but it's like, it's just, it one that that to me, like, I think Adam from MSOE, the guy that started the MSOE club, Facebooked, and he's like, dude, yeah, that podcast and what you guys are doing is awesome. And it's like, you know what, that's way more rewarding to me than money. I mean, at this point, I mean, yeah, I would like to get some financial gain from it, but to me, it's just so cool to hear that we're actually like reaching out and getting to people. And you know,
for sure, I would love to just go down to a tournament and see a guy wearing a Bass Squad t-shirt.
Right.
You know, it's, yeah, I could just walk, I know I can just walk right up to him or her, whoever it is, and just start talking fishing and talk about crazy stories we talked about and just share stuff. It's just like basically a way to instantly connect with other bass.
Oh, exactly.
Bass heads, bass addicts, whatever you want to call us.
Well, and then, you know, when we first started, we're like, oh man, you know, I hope we don't piss anybody off. Have you gotten any negative like feedback whatsoever, like from anybody? I can't honestly.
Not really.
I mean, there's not much blowback except for that one time, but and we know what happened.
Yeah.
But it's like there's not much blowback at all. Like, but if you think about it, like the people that are gonna find us are the people that want to find us.
Yeah.
You know? I think that the viral word of mouth advertising that we're kind of trying to grasp onto is really, really, really beneficial. And I think that we're starting to finally see like growth, and it's really, really encouraging and fun. And like, I get up in the day and I'm like, oh sweet, I'm doing a podcast with Carter tonight. And
yeah,
you know, and
I got to get on more of these. These are a blast.
Oh yeah. No, I mean, dude, this is, Like you said before, like higher consciousness about being in the zone. That's what I'm feeling like every time I'm doing this. It just,
yeah.
You get in this rhythm and you just start talking. Like at first it's kind of awkward a little bit, but then once you start talking about stuff and you just start, you motor mouth a little bit, and it's unbelievable. It's so much
fun.
Yeah,
I mean, we've been talking for like 50 minutes. I feel like it's been five.
That's what Honor said. I mean, and the thing is like, I always listen to him after just to make sure everything's good before I post them usually. I mean, sometimes I don't, but like I listen to it and it's like, wow. It's already 10 o'clock. I just listened to it for an hour and it felt like, you know, 10 minutes. And
yeah,
that's what a lot of people have been saying. And so it's really cool to hear and really fun. And I definitely
for
want
sure.
you on more. I mean, yeah, I know you have an unlimited amount of stories. We can tell stories from the Bassmaster Classic parties and
stories. Oh, we need to have just a Bassmaster Classic party.
Dude,
entourage of stories one night.
I think what we're gonna do, I'm gonna set this up. It's got to happen soon. We're going to four-way Skype, me, you, Casey, and Ted, and we're just going to sit there, and it'll be a 2.5-hour podcast.
It'll be worth it, though.
Oh, yeah. Dude, that's the cool thing about this Skype. It's actually working. Like, it worked pretty good for Honors. Now that I don't know what happened and why we were, all that technical shit that happened in the beginning, but like now it's pretty good.
Yeah, it could have been my internet connection,
oh,
too.
That would be... See, a lot of these stories, like a lot of these things, a couple of my buddies actually listen to it that don't even bass fish, and they like hearing like different things and different views. But like, there's some podcasts that are going to be like bass fishermen only, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, that's going to be one of them when me, you, and Teddy and Casey get together, and it's just, or on Skype. It's just,
that'll be great.
There's
be
no
great.
Way I'm going to leave that without my face hurting from laughing, especially the way Casey tells stories. And
yeah. Me and Ted are also fishing Angler's Choice this summer.
Oh, nice.
So
nice.
We will have some stories in
oh,
the future from that,
great.
I am sure.
Yeah, and if anybody hasn't listened to any of the podcasts, listen to 7 and 8, and fast forward to the end, and you can hear CK tell four of the most hilarious stories you'll ever hear a person tell. So I would really strongly suggest listening to that. That's the one where you've heard it before, where he's fishing with that girl.
Yeah. That is probably one of the greatest fishing stories I've ever heard in my life.
So you guys can fast forward through like all the talking about the Bassmaster Classic, and just like the last 15 minutes of each podcast is absolutely hilarious. So. But yeah,
I gotta tell some Old Glory stories about the old Skeeter too.
Oh yeah. We'll leave that for a different podcast. I think we're gonna probably
sure.
try to wrap this up, get it under an hour around, and do some talking at the end about some advertising. But yeah, so thanks Crawdad for coming on. You're the last member of Bass Squad to be on the podcast.
Appreciate it. I'll be back on soon.
All right, man.
This is fun. This is fun. All right, Crawdad out. I'll
Peace
talk
out,
to you
dude.
Later.
Later.
Bye.
That was it, people. We got so, it was so hilarious how that ended up going, because we went from talking about some deep things, we kind of got off on a little slow and we're just recapping, and then we just took a took a turn, and it was so much fun. I love talking to my buddies about fishing and just telling stupid stories. And that's exactly what I wanted to do with this podcast. Just, you know, make it seem like we're in the room with you talking, and you guys are talking to your buddies too. So that's the podcast, though. I mean, we're almost an hour, so if you guys want, just check out our website. Like I said before, click on the podcast banner. Use the Amazon link if you guys are using any, if you guys are buying anything off of Amazon. It'll really, really help us out. Go on the podomatic.com, and if you guys want to donate, be awesome. We would really appreciate it. But other than that, we got t-shirts still on the website. Use code BSR. And check out the Bass Bites AK rigs. Those are awesome, awesome things. And I already discussed it ad nauseum in the last podcast, or the podcast before. So yeah, so thanks a lot for listening, you guys, and we'll have another one up for you guys shortly. Peace out.